Well, it's good to see you again tonight. I'm not going to mention any encouragement I got from my nieces tonight. I leave that for this morning. But I was talking to Bob Adcock before the meeting, and he said he was disappointed in me that when I was talking about accepting being a pastor for $40,000 a year, you should have held out for $75,000 a year. And, you know, beggars can't be choosers, folks, let me tell you. But I'm kidding when I say that. I'm kidding. Tonight we're going to look at a subject in the Scriptures in the New Testament. If you would please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, first of all. We'll be studying the subject of spiritual gifts tonight. I recall after some years ago, after I'd been saved about a year, maybe 2 years, I had received some teaching on spiritual gifts, and I had talked to a few people about it. And somebody told me, I made the comment that I didn't know what my spiritual gift was at that time as a young Christian, and I was told that that I should pray and ask the Lord to reveal the spiritual gift which He's given to me. And not too long after that, I was invited into the Awana program. I was invited to teach Sunday school, and I found out what the Lord wanted me to do, and I found out what my gift was. Some years later, Gene Wade collared me, and he said, would you like to preach at the Wednesday night, one of the Wednesday night meetings? I almost said, no way am I going to do that, but I didn't. And the Lord will reveal spiritual gifts to you. And I'm sure everybody here tonight knows what their spiritual gift is. If you don't, if you're not sure, this study hopefully will help you. If you're still not sure after the meeting, you know, you could do what I did years ago. Pray. You know, God will reveal to you what your spiritual gift is. He will do that. He will answer that prayer. And as we've all heard the teaching about spiritual gift, that everybody has at least one. And that's true. Some of us have been blessed by God by more than one, and which gives us more responsibility before God. And that brings up another thing that we should mention. You know, since we all have spiritual gifts, and you do, not just me, but you do, as God's people, every one of you that are looking at me tonight, you have a spiritual gift, at least one. God expects you and me to use those spiritual gifts for Him. And we're going to look at that, we'll see that as we go along tonight. And this is really not an in-depth study of spiritual gifts. I wouldn't want to characterize it as that. It's more of an overview of spiritual gifts. But hopefully this will be helpful to you. And you know, we all possess what I call natural talents and abilities. I don't know if that's a good phrase to use. But it's we all have abilities that are not necessarily mentioned in the Scriptures that are spiritual gifts. Some of us have musical talent, which can be used for God. We saw that this morning very clearly among the four people who were singing this morning, and God used them to bless us, I believe. Some of us have athletic talent that we can use for God. Some of us may even be able to teach math or English. That may be a gift that we have, and we can use that for God. Some of us may be able to be used in law enforcement. Perhaps we have talent or ability in that area, and whatever area we have that God has given us, we can use those talents and abilities for God. Now, these things aren't necessarily mentioned in the Scriptures as spiritual gifts. We're just going to look at tonight those things that are mentioned specifically in the Word of God that will be characterized as spiritual gifts. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, first of all, verses 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word perfecting can also mean equipping, for the equipping of the saints. Now, in verse 11, there are five spiritual gifts mentioned. Now, we examined one of those gifts this morning, that word pastor. We also see apostles and prophets. Now, the gift of apostleship is probably past because all the apostles have died out. The gift of a prophet, some would consider that a dead gift. today. Some Christians would not. There is debate about that, about whether the gift of prophecy is enforced today in the church. But for sure, the three gifts that we see in verse 11, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are certainly spiritual gifts that we can readily identify today. The first one is evangelist. Now, someone who is gifted as an evangelist is gifted by God to preach the gospel, to make the gospel clear and plain to unsaved, non-Christian people. Now, they can either do that, they've been gifted that, with that ability, either in the area of public ministry, of preaching from the platform, or one-on-one relationships with other people. But in whatever area they use that, God has gifted them with the gift of evangelism, an evangelist. Some people you and I know and have heard of over the years that would be classified as evangelists. We all remember Worth Ellis. It was clear that Brother Worth had the gift of evangelism, the ability to preach the gospel. Billy Graham has been preaching the gospel for almost 60 years. He's an evangelist. He's known world over as an evangelist. There are people that God has used, that God has gifted with this special gift as an evangelist, the ability and the power to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, of course, we understand that you recall Paul wrote Timothy and told him, do the work of an evangelist. You know, we're all supposed to do that. We're all supposed to be a witness for Christ. But there are special people who have this spiritual gift of an evangelist. We also see in verse 11 the word pastor, which we looked at this morning. We discussed that, maybe not in depth, but we mentioned this morning that the word pastor literally means shepherd. Shepherd. A person who is gifted with the gift of a pastor or shepherd has the ability to guide and feed the flock of God, to counsel with other people, to console other people, to correct other people, to encourage other people. You and I at Northgate Chapel can identify some of the people here who have the gift of a pastor or a shepherd. We know who they are. They have a real love for God's people, and they're constantly ministering to them. We also see in verse 11 the gift of a teacher. The people who have the spiritual gift of a teacher have the ability to open up and to expound and interpret the Scriptures, the Word of God, and to make biblical applications to our lives. You and I know some very well-known gifted Bible teachers. That fellow over in Raleigh, his initials are J.G., you know him. And John Milton Mills down in Goldsboro is another one. There are many more. I recall years ago when I was listening to the radio, I heard a guy there who, by the name of Theodore Epp, who was the founder of the Back to the Bible broadcast on the radio. It was very clear, if you listened to Brother Epp preach on the radio, it was very clear and obvious that he had the spiritual gift of a Bible teacher. He was able to open up the Word of God, to explain it simply, clearly, and plainly, to make the application to you and to your life. He was a very gifted Bible teacher. There are many others that you know and you've heard from this platform or on radio or seen on TV who are gifted in this area of Bible teaching. And I'm not going to say then, I think it would be incorrect to even suggest that these spiritual gifts, if one is more important than the other, because they're not. The gift of evangelism, of pastoring, shepherding, and of teaching, they're all important within the body of Christ, beloved. None of these gifts are more important than the other. God uses gifted people, and he uses them. It's interesting, he interweaves these spiritual gifts among God's people and uses them, and uses us, and uses our gifts in the body of Christ. It is a wonderful tapestry, that's what I would call it, a beautiful tapestry of how gifted people, gifted by God, especially for certain types of ministry like evangelism, pastoring, and teaching, and God will use these gifts for us, for our benefit, for your benefit. Now, we might ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the spiritual gifts? Well, verse 12 will give us an answer to that. First of all, in verse 12, we see that the perfecting of the saints, that word perfecting also means equipping. In other words, those who are gifted in ministry have the ability to lead Christians into lives of obedience to God. You know, one of God's purposes for our lives is to equip us and to encourage us to be more obedient to the Savior. more submissive to his authority, to grow and mature in the faith, to be more Christ-like in our character. You know, if we are equipped to do these things, we'll be more effective for God. We have to ask ourselves, of course, whether we're growing in the faith, whether we are obedient to God, whether our character is becoming more and more like the character of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. These people who are gifted, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists, can equip us to do this. We also see in verse 12 another purpose of spiritual gifts, that is to do the work of the ministry, to serve God and do the work He has given each one of us. You know, we can all learn from gifted evangelists, pastors, shepherds, and teachers. And the more we learn, the more we're enabled to serve God better and effectively. You know, we can learn, even from an evangelist preaching the gospel, we can learn from that. I recall when I was years ago, as new in the faith, and I heard an evangelist preach the gospel, or I heard gospel messages, I learned from that. Even though I understood the message, even though I was saved, I understood more clearly how to present that message to other people. I learned from that. We can all learn from that. We can all certainly learn from gifted pastors, shepherds, who have the ability to encourage us and to help us and to counsel with us, to love us. We can learn from them. We can certainly learn from gifted Bible teachers who are able to expound and open up the Word of God. They help us to do the work of the ministry more effectively for God. And the third purpose of spiritual gifts mentioned in verse 12 is to edify the body of Christ, to build up Christians spiritually. You recall Paul and Timothy. You know, the Apostle Paul had a wonderful relationship with Timothy. Paul equipped Timothy to do the work of the ministry. Paul instructed Timothy. He taught Timothy. Paul mentored Timothy. Paul took Timothy under his wing. And Paul and Timothy had a wonderful father-son type of relationship. And Paul referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. And this was a special relationship in the New Testament, but it gives us a clue of edifying the body of Christ. You know, your life as a believer touches other lives. You realize that? The people that you talk to, the people that you relate with, the people that you help, the people that you pray for. You know, your life, when you touch another person's life, that has an effect on that other person, brother, sister in Christ. It really does. And you have a beautiful and wonderful opportunity to edify the body of Christ by using your spiritual gifts for Him. Now, of course, we are talking about evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but I would think every spiritual gift God would open up opportunities for you and to me to edify one another, to build up one another. And that's one of the purposes, great purposes of spiritual gifts. And we could see that in Paul's relationship with Timothy. What a wonderful example that is, of edifying someone. And think of all the teaching and the learning and the instruction that Timothy absorbed from Paul. And then when Paul died off the scene, Timothy carried on the work of the ministry. Timothy got to know other believers. He instructed them. He taught them. He edified them. And they, in turn, went out and they interrelated with other believers, teaching and instructing and mentoring. Do you see the pattern there? Every time that you use your spiritual gift for other people, every time that you relate to other people, every time you're in contact with other people, you're edifying them, you're building them up. And sometimes we may not understand what the results are. Those of us who work in Awana and Sunday school, you know, we see children on a weekly basis sometimes in Awana and Sunday school. And sometimes you wonder whether those kids are picking up or learning anything, you know. And then years later, sometimes they'll come back to you. Well, you know, I was glad that you were my Awana leader. I was glad. Your life touched me at a point in my life when I needed it. That's edifying the body of Christ. We may not see the results for years down the road, but it's there. It's there. When you touch other people's lives, you're going to edify them, but if you use your spiritual gifts for them. Well, let's look at some more passages in the Scripture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Or turn back to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, Paul says in verse 6, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You know, God gives spiritual gifts to different people, as we all know. But you know, if God gives you a spiritual gift, God is going to give you the strength and the power and the wisdom to exercise that gift. The Lord is not going to say, well, you know, I've given a gift to Christian so-and-so, and I'm just going to leave them hanging out there, and I'm not going to tell them how to use their gift or empower them or open doors of opportunities. And, you know, God's not going to do that. You know, if you have a spiritual gift, God will give you the power and the wisdom and the strength to use that gift. I found that out personally in my life. I know that you have too. And I had to become involved. You know, I had to start ministering in Awana and in Sunday school to find out what my gift was. I had to come up here and start preaching to find out what my gift was. God showed that to me. God showed that to you, I'm sure. He will continue to do that. And if we have a gift that God has given us, let's don't worry about whether he's going to give us the power and the ability and the strength to use it, because he will. That's God's job. That's his responsibility, to empower us and enable us to use the spiritual gifts that he has given you and me. And we also see in verse 6, one of the gifts mentioned by Paul is prophecy. The early Christians who were considered prophet spoke for God and communicated divine truth. You know, in the early days in the book of Acts, of the early days of the church, you just couldn't go down to the Christian bookstore and buy a New Testament or a Bible. You know, you just couldn't do that. The Bible wasn't a part of the canon yet. It wasn't written down for everybody to read, for every person to read. So God raised up gifted people called prophets who had the ability to speak for God and to communicate divine truth. There are some people today who would say we still have prophets who are able to declare the mind of God as revealed in Scripture. I think that's possible. I don't know, maybe a Bible teacher could cover that, you know. We can debate whether prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is being used today or not. I've read both sides of that. But we see here that in the early church, the gift of prophecy played a role. And when Christians gathered together and they didn't have the Scripture, they didn't have a Bible to read, they couldn't open up the Scriptures like we do tonight, they depended on gifted people who were gifted by God to communicate that divine truth to them. And we see also in verse 7, another gift mentioned, ministry. That's a term for one who serves. The one who has the gift of ministry has a servant heart, and they see opportunity for serving or ministering to other people. And I've met Christians like that. They're always looking for opportunities of helping and serving other people. It's a wonderful thing to see. And they delight in doing that. They go out of their way to serve and to help to minister to other people. Now, that can be done in many and various ways. Even a woman in the home, for example, who has children, she can minister to her family, to her children, to her husband, to the other family members, to other Christians. A father in the home can do the same thing if they have that particular gift. But ministry is a gift that requires a servant heart. And you know, the one who had that servant heart, who was our prime and wonderful example, is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no one better at ministering to other people than him. And he has gifted some of us, you and I, with that gift, that special gift of serving other people. And we also see in verse 7 the word teacher, also used here again, the ability to explain the Word of God and apply it to the hearers. But you know, teaching the Scripture does not have to be a public preaching ministry. You know, we can teach, we have, there are gifted people who are able to teach children. There are gifted people who are able to teach adults in small groups and Bible studies for for example. You can even use that gift in your own family to teach your own children if you're gifted in that area. So being a teacher is not necessarily preaching from the platform. There are many and varied ways that you can that God has used that gift. And being taught by a teacher is a wonderful thing. You know, we've all heard gifted teachers preach to us. And we all learn something. We all learn spiritual truth from them because they're gifted in that area. But, you know, sometimes I think we lose track of the fact that it's not what we hear that's important. It's what we do in our Christian life with that truth. Isn't that right? And some of us, you know, that are gifted in ministering the Word of God to children or adults or other people, you know, it's great to see the people that we teach grow in the faith. It's a wonderful thing, especially kids, you know, if we're involved in that ministry as a teacher. It's a great thing to see boys and girls, or even adults, grow in their faith and mature in the faith as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see in verse 8 the gift of exhortation, the ability to encourage the people of God. Usually people who are have this gift are positive thinking, optimistic type of people, and sometimes positive, optimistic type of people drive me crazy, but, you know, that's we all have different personalities, you know, ways of looking at things. I get a little pessimistic sometimes. But, you know, the people that have the gift of exhortation, God has gifted them with the gift of encouragement. A wonderful New Testament example of that is Barnabas, whose very name means son of encouragement. If you read in the book of Acts how Barnabas went to the various churches with Paul and his missionary team, and it says that Paul encouraged the people. He exhorted the people. He was always there saying something positive to try to help other believers. The one who has this one gift of exhortation has the ability to encourage other people. Years ago, I met a man who, I just met him in the hall here at Northgate Chapel one Sunday. His name was Edney. I think he was down at the Pittsburgh home, and he died and went home to be with the Lord some years ago. I can't remember his first name. But, you know, it was a fascinating experience. He stopped me in the hall and talked to me, and I felt like I was just talking to him. I was being encouraged. I felt so encouraged. And he focused all his attention on you, on me. And it was such a wonderful experience. And when I left him, I said, man, who is that guy? You know? I felt encouraged and uplifted when I talked to him. And that's a wonderful gift that God has given us as believers, the gift of exhortation or encouragement. We also see in verse 8 the gift of giving. Someone who is aware of the needs of others and seeks to meet those needs. You know, we all can give. If you have, we have that spiritual gift of giving. We don't necessarily have to give our financial resources, although that's a good thing. We could also give of ourselves. We can give our time to other people. And I've seen people, you and I have seen believers who have this wonderful gift of giving. They're constantly looking for opportunities to help and to meet other people's needs. They have the spiritual gift of giving. Sometimes people who have financial resources and are able to do that use their financial resources to give to other people, to help and to meet other people's needs. What a wonderful gift that is in the body of Christ that's needed, the gift of giving. We also see in verse 8 the word ruler, ruleth. The word ruler here means leader, someone who is gifted with leadership ability. There are some brethren, some ladies here in Northgate Chapel who have this spiritual gift. They're leaders. You can tell. You can talk to them. You can look at their activities and tell that they are leaders. That's their spiritual gift. That's one of their gifts. And leadership does not have to be confined to elders in the local assembly. I was going to say pastor, but I'm not going to use that word tonight. But you don't necessarily have to be an elder to have the gift, the spiritual gift of leadership. We have leaders in Awana, in Sunday school, in the nursery, people who are can organize things. And you know, if you're going to be a leader, there's some people you have to have, and that's followers. Isn't that right? And people who have the gift of leadership or have the ability to encourage people to follow them in the Lord. I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, could have had that certainly leadership ability, the ability to lead other people. And in verse 8, Paul says, lead with diligence, or lead with zeal, and lead with singleness of mind. If you have that spiritual gift of leadership, Be sure to do with, use that gift with singleness of mind, brother, sister in Christ. Be zealous in your leadership ability. You know, that's what God wants. That's what God expects. We also see in verse 8 the gift of mercy, showing mercy. Some of God's people are able, are gifted in aiding those in distress, aiding those in distress. And you know, some of these gifts, of course, overlap in these verses. We can see giving, ruling, leading, showing mercy, and exhortation is overlapping one another. But in this particular case, showing mercy, people are gifted with this, have great compassion for other people. We know, we all know people like that, don't we? That show great compassion for other people, and are able to aid those in distress when hard times come. You know, I would like to have somebody ministering to me that has the gift of mercy. You know, I don't want people to tell me, "Well, Earl, what you need is a kick in the pants and just get on out there and don't make excuses." Well, sometimes we need something a little bit. We need more understanding. We need more compassion. The people who are able to show mercy or are gifted in this area have the ability to aid us in our distress. The Amplified Bible said that those who show mercy should show mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Those are wonderful terms to apply to people who show mercy. Now, we've gone through Romans chapter 12. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's some verses there. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. First Corinthians 12, 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We see in 1 Corinthians 12 a list of spiritual gifts that Paul gives us here. But in verse 4, Paul says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many and varied spiritual gifts that are possessed by Christians, but it's the same Holy Spirit who gives these gifts. Now, we have to remember that if we see someone with a particular spiritual gift, or if we ourselves possess a particular spiritual gift, that that comes from the Spirit of God. He gives us those spiritual gifts. And he'll give those gifts for us. Now, one of the questions I had, well, why does God give some people with certain gifts and not another? And, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't figured that out. You know, why does God have a brother so-and-so with the gift of a Bible teacher and another Christian woman with the gift of showing mercy? You know, why does God do that? And I don't know that the Scriptures really don't explain that clearly. I think we'll have to find out someday when we get to heaven. Lord, why did you give me this particular gift? You know? But in any case, in verse 5, Paul also says there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are distinctive varieties of service, but it's the same Lord who is served. You know, there's a variety of ways of serving God. And God can direct you and me into a way of serving Him with our spiritual gift. He will do that. But we all have to remember it's the same Lord. We shouldn't lose track of the fact that, you know, if we have a particular spiritual gift, that we should serve God with that gift. That's what we're doing. You know, if you're gifted and talented in an area, that gift was given by God, and you and I as believers have a responsibility to God to use that gift for Him. That's what He expects. That's what He wants from us, from you and I. And in verse 6, Paul says, "And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all." There are many ministries and ways of accomplishing things, but it's the same God that inspires and energizes them. You know, if we were to have an evangelistic meeting here at Northgate Chapel. We would want an evangelist, who someone who is gifted in preaching the gospel, to minister to other people. We would also want people who are gifted possibly as a Bible teacher to help those with the word of, explain the word of God to them. We may need people who are gifted as pastors and shepherds to interrelate with people and try to understand and sympathize with them, lead them to faith in Christ. See, all these things, all these gifts are used to being used by God together with the same goal. Do you understand that? You know, your gift and my gift is being used by God to accomplish His work. We may say, well, you know, the gift that I have can be used in a vacuum and that God won't notice and other people won't notice. Well, you know, that's not true. If you have a particular spiritual gift, just think of all the believers around you in this local assembly, in other churches, in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world, who are using their gifts that God has given them, all of them using the gift together for the benefit of His people and for the glory of God. You know, that's what He expects. That's what He wants from us. And in verse 8, the Apostle Paul starts listing some of these gifts. In verse 8, he mentions the word of wisdom, the ability to speak with insight, to solve difficult problems, to resolve conflicts, to give practical advice. You know, there are some Christians who are known as having wisdom. You ever notice that? Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you know, they're very wise people. They're very wise. You know, you're comfortable in going to these people and getting advice because they're very spiritually wise people and they're not going to lead you astray. They're going to give you good, sound, biblical, scriptural advice, the word of wisdom. We also see in verse, or I should mention as a word of wisdom, you recall Stephen in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 10, it said that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Stephen was a very wise man. It was hard for other people to resist his wisdom. And in verse 8, we see the word of knowledge. That is the ability to give out information that has been divinely revealed. Now that may be kind of, you may say, now who has the gift of the word of knowledge? I don't know anybody who can give out information that has been divinely revealed. Well, we've been to the Lord's Supper. You ever notice some brethren standing up at the Lord's Supper and giving a scripture reading? And giving wonderful, beautiful insights into that scripture, into the Word of God, that draw us closer to the Savior. Some people, it looked like that when every time they stand up at the Lord's Supper to read the Word of God, they inspire us to worship. It's almost like, I would say it's like a gift from God. They can open up the Word of God and give these beautiful, wonderful insights into our Savior that stimulate worship of Him. The Word of knowledge. We also see in verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit, the gift of faith, the ability to trust God in the midst of difficult circumstances. That's a wonderful gift to have. I wish I had that. I don't think I do. When circumstances arise, it's difficult to trust God, isn't it? People who are spiritually gifted with this gift have the ability to trust God in the midst of difficult circumstances. We all remember George Mueller. In England in the 19th century. You recall that he had he ministered to children, had orphanages opened up all over England that housed boys and girls. They had no parents, no family, no home. They would come to his orphanage. He would take care of them. And one of the things about George Mueller that was most fascinating is the fact that he rarely, if ever, asked people or revealed his needs to other people. He would always take his needs to God, always, and God would meet those needs in a real way. That was a time that Mueller was at the dinner table in one of his orphanages with the children. It was supper time. They were all sitting down at the table. The plates and the cups and the eating utensils and knives and forks were all out there, but there wasn't a scrap of food on the table. There wasn't a scrap of food in the orphanage, yet Mr. Mueller was getting ready to give thanks for the food. Of course, if I was a kid back then, I'd look around at the table and say, what in the world is he giving thanks for? Ain't nothing here. That would show you how much faith I would have. But as he was giving thanks, this is a true story, he heard, as he was giving thanks for the food that wasn't there, he heard a knock on the door. And the man, he answered the door, and the man told him, "Mr. Mueller, my bread truck broke down here. You know, I have all these baked goods. I've got to get rid of them. Can your orphanage use this bread? Can you use these baked goods?" So the children that night did have something to eat. Thanks to God. Thanks to the Lord. And George Mueller exercised that incredible faith in over the years. He ministered to 10,000 orphans in a period of 60 years in England. 10,000 orphans in 60 years. He was a man of great faith. A man of great faith. And in verse 10, we also see, or in verse 9, it says the gifts of healing. Also, Paul mentions in verse 10 the gift of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretations of tongues. These gifts, most of them, if not all of them, were used in the early church, especially the gift of tongues, of healings, of miracles. These gifts were used in a way to authenticate the Word of God, to authenticate the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's why they were used in the early church. When the apostles died out, these gifts probably died out with them. Now, there are some people, some Christians in the charismatic Pentecostal groups that would say that these gifts are in force now, in 2004. I would disagree with that. Because I think the Word of God is clear about the spiritual gifts that the church possesses now, and these gifts are not being used like they were in the early church. You know, when I see people speaking in tongues in a church meeting, and they're all speaking the same at the same time, and I can't understand anything they're speaking, it sounds like gibberish. And there's nobody there to interpret. You know, everybody's speaking in tongues. Who's doing the interpreting? If you want to use the biblical guidelines laid down by Paul in 1 Corinthians and say, well, if we're going to speak in tongues, somebody's got to be there to interpret. And speaking in tongues is not speaking in gibberish. It's speaking in a foreign language that can be understood and interpreted. You know, that's the biblical definition of speaking in tongues. Many people would disagree. They would say, well, the gifts of speaking in tongues and healing and miracles are in effect today. There are people, there are ministers who say they have the gift of healing. They have meetings with a lot of sick people, people who are afflicted with one affliction or the other. These people are called up onto the stage. They're touched, and they're told by this man, "You are healed." And the sad and tragic fact is that they're not. They're not. This man does not have a gift of healing. And many people are misled by this. Now, I'm not saying that God can't heal. You and I all know. We know that God can heal. We know that. But the gift of healing, which was used in the early church, is not in effect for today. And the Apostle Paul, in the verses 10 and 11, or 9 and 10, we see that. And also, you know, spiritual gifts are given to the church. They're not supposed to bring attention to ourselves or to be used for our personal benefit, but to build up the people of God and to bring glory and honor to our Savior. You know, we can all get wrapped up in the person who possesses the gift, and we cannot give glory to the great giver. That's easy to do. And we can use the spiritual gifts we have in a selfish way for our benefit, to get attention to ourselves, to be popular with other people. And if we do that, we're ministering with the wrong motivations, brother, sister, in Christ. If we have a gift, let's use it for God. Let's use it for the benefit of God's people. That's what He wants us to do. That's what we learn in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 12, the purposes of spiritual gifts. And if we see a gifted Christian, a man or a woman who has a special gift that they have received from God, you know, let's make sure and let's encourage that Christian to use that gift that they have for the glory of God and for the benefit of His people. You know, that's what God wants. And let's all remember the fact that Jesus Christ, our Lord, He is the head of the church. The Spirit of God has given us these gifts to use for Him. You have a spiritual gift, brother, sister. I have a spiritual gift. God expects us to use our gifts for Him. Sadly to say, there are some Christians who are sitting on the sidelines and who are not using their spiritual gifts. How sad and how tragic that is. If we have a gift or even a talent or an ability by God, we should be using it for Him. Using it for Him. And remember that your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is going to touch someone else. God has given you a special spiritual gift, and He wants you to use it for the benefit of other people. When you talk to people and interrelate to people, when you pray for them, you are touching people's lives. And when we do that, we're going to build up one another and edify one another. And that's what the Lord expects out of you and I. He expects us to use the gift that He's given us. And let's make sure that we use them for the glory and honor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You so much for the spiritual gifts that You have given us here at Northgate Chapel. We think of all the gifted men and women, even those ones who are gathered here tonight, Father. We thank You for the gifts, but we also thank You for the great giver. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have led us, You've instructed us, You've taught us from Your Word tonight. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will use the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. We pray for those who don't yet understand or know what their spiritual gift is. We pray, Father, that You would reveal that gift that You've given them to these people. And we just commit ourselves to You. We thank You for the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Savior of sinners, the head of the church, our blessed and wonderful Savior. We give You thanksgiving and praise to Him, Heavenly Father, because He is the one who went to the cross and shed His blood for us. He is the precious and worthy Lamb of God. And we just end our meeting and pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.